This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 194. I want your iridium inside me. Home of the best, the fucking best.
Okay, gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast.
I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
How are you?
Did you have a good week?
Did you play with anything new?
Did you read anything?
I played with something new.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's not this podcast. Get your dirty mind out of the gutter. Take that someplace else. Here, we talk about video games, tech gadgets, and anime. We also do it on our website, which is www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce such a long one. And you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, subscribe.
Pico el botano poquitos.
And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. And you can also find some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. You got our show hitting you every single Monday with the freshness. Then on Tuesday, we've got a new episode of Boston Bash Brigade that's co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And then Wednesday, cook-a-pow, right there for the Hump Day next awesomeness. You've got Geek Aggro, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So bing, bing, boom, right there. You got podcast goodness all the way to Hump Day. And then to get you through the rest of the week, keep you entertained. Well, there's all the stuff that happens on our site. There's the stuff that happens on Twitter, that happens on YouTube, that happens on Flickr. All you got to do if you want to keep track of all of it is just go to esh.mobi/socialize and bam, there's all the linkage that you need. Become fans. Become friends. Follow us on Twitter. Be a stalker of the eshness, please. Yeah, I've had caffeine today.
So. Yeah, see, and I haven't.
You should totally have caffeine. It's like crack, but not as addictive. Not that I would know because I've never done crack. Because crack is whack. Whitney said that. Our site and our stuff is not. So make sure that you're checking all of it out. Because we're funny.
We're fun.
We try.
Most of the time. Sometimes you're a pain in the ass, but mostly you're fun, so.
Hey.
Just saying. I'm being honest.
All right, well, if we're going to play the honest game.
No, okay. We're not going to play the honest game. That's
you
for
sure?
Another podcast. Yeah.
Because, you know, we could play that game.
Yeah, well, I don't want to play that game.
I bet you don't.
I do not want to play that game. What I do want to do is talk about some game stuff, some nerd stuff, and all the good things that we really do enjoy over here in the land of Esh. So, Mike of a Thousand Truths kind of in the middle of the table. Got a couple of things I want to talk about. I'm going to give you the Mike of a Thousand Truths. Let you do
go
the thing.
Right ahead. Do what you need to do.
I would love to talk about the iPhone prototype that got in the hands of some people.
You who might left have heard it at a bar?
They got in the hands of some people who you might know from the site Gizmodo.com. Everybody's all up in arms about this prototype. What was really funny is that there's a picture of Steve Wozniak kind of making fun of the guy that lost the iPhone prototype. And so he's like holding up what looks like a beer. And he's looking on an iPhone 3GS, and the shirt says, "I went drinking with Gary, with Gray Powell, and all I got was a lousy iPhone prototype." First of all, I want to say I love Steve Wozniak, okay? It takes a special kind of nerd to laugh at stuff like that.
At a leak.
And not only to laugh at a leak, because we can all find it, you know, funny to let something out that shouldn't have been let out. I mean, we've all... Let's face it, let something out at a time where it was really inappropriate to let it out. You know what I mean? Wink, wink, say it.
I don't know what you're speaking about.
Okay, but, you know, it's never cost anybody their job or anything like that. But so we can all laugh at, like, that. But what I think is especially nerdy is that he made a T-shirt to make fun of this instance. That is a special kind of humor that only a special kind of geek and or nerd can have. And so I love Steve Wozniak for that. Because he's not even involved with Apple anymore. Which is funny. So anyway, if you haven't heard the story, if you haven't seen the pictures, where the fuck have you been? It's been on every news channel at least once this week.
Dude, I heard it on the radio.
Dude by the name of Gray Powell, okay, a hardware engineer at Apple, went to a bar, a nice bar, okay, probably had a few brews, okay,
a few.
Left with some homies after Facebooking, they was out having some brews with some homies, accidentally left his iPhone behind. Normally it wouldn't be a big deal, okay,
right.
Just go back to the bar and get your phone, okay, no problem. Expect.
Right.
He didn't have just a regular iPhone. He had a prototype of what looks like is going to be the new iPhone that Apple is going to release at the end of June. Now, he had it disguised, okay? He had this really kind of funky case on it to make the device look like a 3GS. But once you took the case off, you realized, hey, this is not a 3GS iPhone. A couple of guys that were at the bar saw the phone, thought that the kid that had been sitting next to them might have been the owner of the phone. So they hung around to wait, hopefully, for the dude to show back up and be like, oh, my God, I think I lost my phone. They could be like, hey, here's your phone. Oh, awesome. Let me buy you a beer. Thank you for finding my phone. Dude didn't come back.
Right.
So they figured, hey, free iPhone. Because the dude didn't come back. Popped the case off. Realized, oh, hey.
This different.
Is something new that's been added. And everyone knows that Gizmodo does pay for tips and leads that are exclusive and are new. So, through a dude, got in touch with Gizmodo. Gizmodo got in touch with a bank. Some money exchange hands. I've seen things up to, you know, saying $5,000. And
damn.
The phone was turned over to Gizmodo, who immediately tried to get into the phone. The phone got its information remotely wiped. So that's when they started thinking, hey, we're on to something. So they pulled the fucker apart and did this whole big exclusive thing on their website. And then Apple realized that one of their phones was out in the wild and like, hey, we realize you have something that belongs to us. Give it back. So Gizmodo obviously giving the phone back because they don't want to ever not be invited to any more Apple press events for devices. But it started this whole big hubbub about whether or not it was a plant or not a plant, you know, to build hype around the release of the new phone or possibility of the new phone. Gizmodo was really, really thorough in their dissecting of the device as far as what they could get to, because once the information was remotely wiped, it would not let a restore happen of the device until it was plugged into a version of iTunes that could restore it, which, because it's a prototype, nobody has, so up creek, no paddle.
Right, gotcha.
So they were able to pull it apart and go through at least the hardware that's in there, and the device, you know, in the state that it's in, looks great. To begin with, like if Apple was to release the phone as it looks right now, I definitely would buy one. But what I think is really interesting is, you know, all the back talk of, oh, it's a plant, it's not a plant, the kid's going to lose his job, not lose his job. You know, Apple is real, really sensitive about information leaks and that they must have planned for it and things like that. I say no, they didn't.
No.
Okay, and here's why. The biggest thing that I hear when people say, oh, it was a plant to build hype around the iPhone. Guess what? One thing you don't have to do
It's
hype the iPhone. Okay, the iPhone hypes itself. It does not need a Flavor Flav. The iPhone fucking has Flavor Flav built in. Doesn't need a hype man. Okay, all Apple has to do is even hint that there's going to be a new device, and the media machine goes crazy. We're part of that. We do too. We talk speculation, rumors. We don't even have to see a picture. It just starts. Okay, so to say that they've planted a prototype device out in the wild to build hype around the iPhone, it just doesn't logically make any sense. The thing has built-in cache and hypes itself. So got to throw that argument out the window. The next one is to drive the stock price up. Well, guess what? Apple's stock price went up when they released the iPad. I'm not saying that releasing another device isn't going to drive the stock up again, because since it pretty much has been confirmed that the phone that Gizmodo had was the prototype iPhone, and at the same time, AT&T has locked down people from being able to request leave at all in June, pretty much confirms that something's happening in June. And since it's an AT&T block, everybody goes, new iPhone, new iPhone. So they haven't done themselves any favors in that block. Drives the stock up. Apple does not need itself to deliberately or indirectly try to drive the stock price up. It's already doing that. They had their earnings call for the quarter last week. They made $3 billion cash money. They're doing
Yeah.
Okay.
Apple doesn't
so
need it.
So it's not like they're going to fold. Okay, all the rumors back in the day was like, oh yeah, any minute now, Apple Computer's just going to fold because they can't stay in business. Yeah, they made $3 billion, bitches. They're okay. So there's no immediate need to drive that stock price up to stay in business. They're okay. So that argument goes by the wayside. And then finally, the situation in the way that the phone was lost totally lends itself to not be a plant. Okay, if you're going to plant a device that you want media to get a hold of,
to put it in an area where there's a lot of media.
Exactly. You'd be in LA, you'd be in New York, you'd be in DC, Boston, a hub city, wherever, where it could get on the national line really, really quickly. Okay, you wouldn't lose the phone in some locals only bar on a bar stool.
Why would
it where any steal? Joe Schmo could just pick it up and just take it home.
Yeah. Good point.
So you would want to lose it someplace where you would be guaranteed that it would wind up in the hands of who you wanted it in the hands of.
Like, wouldn't you, I don't know, plant it at a tech reporting?
It would be close to some kind of reporting industry, whether that's print, web, whatever, that follows technology, so that the moment that they saw the phone, they'd go, oh my gosh, something's not right with that iPhone, and they'd open it up. Okay, you wouldn't just leave it at an Arby's, because they wouldn't know what the fuck to do with it. So why would you leave it at a non-chain bar where more than likely some drunk fucker would just pick it up, take it home, and fucking keep it?
Yeah.
Even if it didn't work, they would just keep it as a trophy. And yeah, not necessarily get it in the hands of anybody that could comment on it. So, no, I don't think it was a plant at all. Do I think that Gray Powell is going to lose his job? Probably.
If he hasn't already.
Okay, because, you know, there already have been stories about, you know, the dude that showed Wozniak the iPad a couple of hours before the iPad was actually released on the 3rd. And he lost his job showing the iPad to one of the founding fathers of Apple fucking computer, lost his job. So the fact that Gray Powell pretty much pre-released the iPhone without releasing the iPhone, him keeping his job, the odds of that are slim to none, which sucks. But it does come down to the fact that he's responsible for private company information and hardware winding up in the public before it was supposed to, which could have done damage to the company. you know, if that information, now that it's out and what hardware is in the device, now all the competing companies that make competing devices to the iPhone know exactly what they're going to be up against in a couple of months and can now start working on
projects that will be even better.
You know, or at least will hold water and track well, whereas if they hadn't had this information, they would have had to play catch-up for a couple of months more. So
well, now will this make it slightly fair?
It's not about fair, okay? Because business – I don't want to say business isn't about being fair, but knowing what somebody's going to be releasing as a device – before it's released or done, having that knowledge as another company, that's not fair. That's really unfair. You know, the whole thing about bringing something to the market is to come to the market with a new idea that fosters other people that are in the market to create their own ideas or variations. It's all about creating competition. Okay, it's like playing poker. If I know the cards that are in your hand, well, that's not fair. Because I have an unfair advantage now. I know everything that you could possibly do, but you don't know what I can do. And so that's an unfair advantage. And so now you have this unfair advantage going on. I just think that it was really kind of douchey of Gizmodo to put poor Gray Powell's Twitter ID out there. Because I'm sure after the story broke that he got more tweets than a little bit.
Oh, hater mail. Hater tweets. Hate tweets.
You know, and that's just not cool.
Tweets. Yeah, tweets.
You know, so I think that it's an interesting situation in that the device itself looks great. I definitely plan on buying one just on the looks alone. I mean, the hardware that's in there is amazing. Okay, there's definitely a camera on the front of.
Yep, so now you could do front face like Skype.
And there was already, you know, some speculation about that because some people had leaked information about what was in the SDK and that there were calls to the iChat AV application, which why would you have iChat AV as an application on the iPhone unless
you were going to go that way?
You were going to have hardware that would support it. So it's not a huge, huge surprise other than it's now confirmation that, yeah, that's the reason why it's there because there's a camera on the front of the phone. And why would you have a camera on the front of the phone when you have a camera on the back of the phone unless the one on the front is for use in video conferencing? So, you know, that's going to be a big thing. The screen looks to be about the same size, if not a little bit smaller. But the design of the phone really kind of harkens back to the design of the original iPhone. So they've gone back to being flat on the back side.
Right.
And gone to still having plastic on the back side because that helps with the antenna reception, which is why some of the metal phones really dropped off the AT&T network badly. It was that the aluminum was really fucking with the antenna. So it's good to see that they're definitely taking what they've learned from Rev 1, 2, and 3 of the phone to really making the 4G phone, you know, a winner. I don't know necessarily if it's going to be the best phone on the market, but the screen looks better. The resolution for things looks higher. I'm really interested in seeing that there's a camera on the front of it. I want one in my hands. I want it today. I know I have to wait until June, but I... If they
you're an app, you're an Apple file. You're a Mac.
I am. I am definitely a Mac enthusiast, and I'm definitely a Apple enthusiast.
Mac file.
I've never, ever, ever made any bones about that. Okay, but I use both platforms, both popular platforms, in my day to day work. But I prefer my Macs. I prefer my Apple stuff. You know, I've had a Trio. I've used a BlackBerry. I've used an iPhone. I like the iPhone better. I have PCs, both ones that are pre-built as well as one that I built and a custom-built one, and I have my Macs. I prefer my Macs better. So I don't want to get the hater mail of, well, you just don't know what a good PC is like. Dude, I've used Falcon Northwest machines. I've used Alienware machines. I've used, you know, really nice XPS Dell machines, and I have a Velocity Micro custom-built machine. I have good PCs, and I've worked on a good PC. I prefer my Mac. It's all about preference, okay?
Right.
Get off my nuts. So I hope that the dude doesn't get fired. I think he will, but I hope he doesn't, because that would suck.
Well, no, because if he didn't get fired for this, then the guy who flashed the iPad like an hour before shouldn't have gotten fired. Like,
yeah, seriously. I mean, you got to be fair.
So, I mean, if this guy doesn't get fired, then that guy could be like, he left it at a bar. I showed it to one of the founding dudes who wasn't going to say anything.
Like an hour and a half before it went on sale to the public, I showed it to Wozniak and got fired. This fucker got drunk in a bar and left it behind, and it wound up in Gizmodo's hands.
Yeah. So this guy, no offense, fair is fair. He needs to be let go.
So I feel bad for him, though, because he's gotten, like, this shitstorm. I mean, Wozniak's making fun of him, for Christ's sakes, let alone the rest of the internet.
Well, that's what the internet's for, porn and humiliation. And
porn
sometimes both.
And humiliation on the interwebs. And cats.
And yes, cats.
There's porn, humiliation,
and cats
on the internet. So, yeah, I feel bad about Gray, but what are you going to do?
I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah. Other thing I thought was kind of interesting and really didn't hit the radar for most people, but Harmonix has entered into a multi-year deal with Mad Catz, and Mad Catz is going to be basically the global provider for...
I thought you were about to say pariah.
Provider of peripherals for Harmonix created stuff, basically Rock Band, for a bunch of different years. And I gotta say, I'm actually really glad to hear this. And I never thought that I would say that I was happy to hear that Mad Catz was gonna be like the exclusive peripheral maker for any game that I really enjoy. Because let's face it, for a few years there, Mad Catz peripherals suck donkey dick.
Yes, I've had a run-in or two with some Mad Catz.
Okay, we've all had bad battery packs, controllers that the buttons were cheap and either broke off or were sticky, didn't work, or just completely didn't talk to your console. We've all had some bad Mad Catz things. But I have to say that as they became the providers for some of those higher-level quality guitars for Rock Band, if you haven't seen them, the ones that they make out of wood, I would definitely put on the same level as the Logitech wood-based guitar peripherals for Rock Band. I'm excited to hear that they're going to be the provider for that, because that means, I hope, better wireless drum options as well as more guitar options.
Why would you want another drum set? You already have a beautiful Ion.
I love the Ion set, but what I want... not for me personally, but for other people, is to have some wireless options. Because that's the only thing I don't like about my Ion, is that when I'm having a get-together and I've got people, you know, strolling through my living room, there's a high likelihood of somebody tripping over that wire and, you know, taking my Xbox with them. So I would love to have a good, strong, quality wireless drum alternative. And I'm hoping that that's something that Mad Catz can bring to the market, as well as some more diversity in styles of guitars that look more like a real guitar, if not are made in the same way as real guitars are. And so I'm excited about that. And I wish that more, you know, pub was put out about it, because I think that, you know, Mad Catz should be given credit. They definitely have stepped their game up and are working towards making better peripherals. I mean, the fighting sticks for Street Fighter, great. So I just wanted to give a little high five to Mad Catz on that. Y'all rock. You're getting better. Okay. Love the progress. Let's keep it positive. And yeah. So that's my stuff.
Okay.
iPhone leak bad. Mad Catz getting better.
So now we need something good.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's my
turn. We've got bad, and then we've got better.
Better.
Now we need good, and then we need best. So what do you got for people?
I don't think I have a better or a best, because I haven't had much chance to look for anything new that I'd want to invest in.
You totally need to get on GameFly.
I actually think with this next check, I'm going to get Gamefly and I'm going to get Netflix for my PS3. I've come to realize as of late that I am a single player person. I like to play single player games. I like to invest in those. And I've kind of pulled away from the multiplayer realm, which is weird because I was balls deep in it.
Yeah, it happens as you get a little bit older. You start realizing that the other balls in the pool suck.
I guess. It's
what you made fun of me for, like either the last show or the show before that, where I was talking about if I do multiplayer at all, I only like to
play. No. I'm not saying that I suck in multiplayer.
What I'm saying is I only like to do multiplayer with my friends, because multiplayer with just random people out there, the pool is kind of shallow.
I don't have an issue playing with randoms, but it's just weird. I've come to notice that, you know, I've been spending a lot more time on my PS3, and sadly, out of all of them, I think pretty much, I mean, outside of, you know, the co-op in Res 5 and the multiplayer in...
There isn't multiplayer on the PS3.
Well, none of my games are. No, none of the games that I have right now have a strong...
No, because most of the good games for the PS3 don't have a multiplayer component.
So, I mean, it's just
because weird. It's hard to build.
Well, I mean, Demon's Souls does have a really great adult, quote unquote, as you know, quality of co-op that I like. Mm-hmm. But still, like I've barely touched my 360. I mean, I played a little Gears 2 last week because a friend of mine got a 360. Not that I know why he did that, and demanded that I stop hiding in my PS3 and play something on my Xbox. So I was like, fine, I'll show you up. And that was done. So I still got it, but I don't come home and go, I want to play on my Xbox. I'm just like, I'll go upstairs and play on my PS3 or my Nintendo DS, since I've been playing a lot of Pokemon lately.
Pokemon.
No offense. And I've become a lot more active, one, with this job, and two, with this Pokewalker. I've noticed I park further away from locations so that I can beef it up.
Oh my God.
I have noticed, I'll double, you know, walk up and downstairs in my day at my job, and I hide it in my boobs, you know, for maximum, you know, bounceness.
Oh my God.
It's weird. I know. I'm a very weird person.
You are. You really are. I worry about you.
So, I mean, I haven't played anything new. I mean, everyone's kind of talking about Splinter Cell Conviction, and I've never played any Splinter Cell game. I mean, people have always talked about them. I mean, there was always a mild interest, but there wasn't enough for me to go, okay, well, with the last, you know, $200 that I got, I should go to Best Buy and buy it and maybe a movie. I was like, no, I will say nay to that, which is weird because usually I'm a hype chaser. And that's what I want to talk about on the show this week is I don't know about other gamers, but I know that there's a few of us who they hear a hype, they're interested, and they jump on it faster than, well, we know how fast they jump on it.
Yeah.
But they
jump on it.
Some of them will jump on that line, you know, just as fast as someone who's been like playing a game series. You know, like some people are like, oh, I'm going to buy God of War 3 because I've heard great things of 1 and 2 and never played them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so and they jump on that board and they get it. And that whole first week that they have it, it's all they'll play. Now, if you're one of those good doobies, when you do that, you play through it entirely.
Doobies!
And then you go back to your normal state of game euphoria. But then there are some of us who are kind of wish-washy and, you know, aren't, I guess, lack commitment.
Maybe commitment phobes.
We might have this issue. I will speak for myself, but I'm that kind of person who jumps on the hype train. But if something distracts me in the middle of it, I will go into this weird, you know, maternal animalistic viewpoint where, you know, like if you've ever come across like baby animals, like baby birds, like one's fallen out of a nest and it's tweeting and you're like, oh, I want to help it. And you touch it. And then the mom bird comes back and wants nothing to do with it because it's now got a different scent on it. I'm sure you've seen.
Yes, it. I've heard of
it's,
this.
It's kind of like that with this game. So I'm this mother bird. I invested. I bought, and my example for this is Final Fantasy 13. Got it. I think second day of release. Got the guide. Played it 4 days straight. I then had a friend over, and I was like, "Oh my god!" I'm like, "I'm in chapter 11. I'm almost done, and I totally want to start playing this." And the friend was just kind of like, but I haven't played it yet and I don't want you to spoil it. So of course, out of respect for A, having company, and B, not wanting to, spoil anything, because God forbid someone sees something or hears something from me that they shouldn't.
So Spoilalicious is in the building.
No, she was not that day. So I obviously did not play it. But since that day, I'm staring it in the face and I haven't gone back to it. Like, I feel reject. Like, there's something about it that rejects me from what, like, I just don't want to touch it. And I have no idea how the game ends yet. I mean, I'm looking at my whole, like, stack right now. And the only two games that I haven't seen the endings for are that and Dante's Inferno. And we already know.
It ends with digital penis.
Yeah, so... But I am not driven. I'm not nearly as driven as I was when I bought it to finish it.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that it's because of how much time that you've invested that you have the been there, done that feeling, especially playing Final Fantasy games before? Or is it because you're not in it anymore that you're easily drawn to newer, bigger, better things because the Final Fantasy franchise itself hasn't done anything really innovative?
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, coming out of Final Fantasy 13, we know where they've gone and they've tweaked all the issues that I had with the, you know, ancestors of the game. This was the innovation. Like, this was the new take on the battle system. I mean, granted, yes, the graphics and whatnot are the same, and the story is still kind of the same. But I mean, they did a haul on the gameplay system, on the game mechanics, which was a big pull. Like, a lot of people are like, oh my god, it plays so much better now. And so I don't know. I couldn't tell you what it was. If it's anything about, you know, the game not really doing anything new and original. Uncharted didn't do anything really new and original. Really, between the two, and I have the first Uncharted just to clear that up, and I've played both of them now, and I don't know. I haven't figured it out, you know. And like I said, the only two games I haven't seen in my entirety are that and Dante's, and I'm not, you know, I'm more inclined to want to play Final Fantasy 13 over Dante's Inferno, but at the same time, I'm quicker to grab my DS and play Pokemon, which. We all know we've beaten that horse to death several times.
Pokemon!
But I'm just saying, I mean, talking about a franchise that has whooped itself senseless, Game Freaks have been making money off of Pokemon for years now.
I mean, they're going to start making Pokemon games where they have to list the color of the game using Pantone swatches. And that's when I think I'm going to have to retire from gaming.
Pokemon like, Fuchsia!
You know, when they come out with Pokemon 128-22C, I'm just really like, okay, all right, wait. Time out.
But I'm just saying. So, I mean, if it's about a franchise beating itself to death, no, because, you know, I played Pokemon Ruby. Mm-hmm. And after Ruby, I stopped playing it for a while, and apparently, this Heart Gold and Soul Silver are the remakes of the original Gold and Silver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just with, you know, a little tweak here and there and better graphics. So, I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with the gaming series not expanding, you know, and doing anything different, because I've never had an issue with a game series staying true to its original concept. That's not it. I don't know. I think it's that, you know, that when you're in that hype, you're, it's a lust. It's this, it's a new, it's like that new relationship feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, when you first are in your relationship, that whole first week, oh my God, I think I'm in love. Oh my God, I wanna skip through the marigolds, you know. But what if somebody trips you while you're skipping? You're like, fuck this, I'm not gonna skip anymore. So the last thing you're gonna do is go near any flowers. That's what it feels like. I feel like I was skipping with Final Fantasy 13 and there was a rock in the field and I tripped and I hurt my knee.
And, you know, you became Little Bunny Fufu?
More or less. And I fell, and, you know, and Final Fantasy was, like, right there, and it gave me its hand, and it left me up, and I was just like, you know what? I just want to go home. And he was very nice, and he brought me home, and he put some ice on my knee, but I didn't call him after that. And I haven't called him since. And I don't feel bad about it.
Do you think you're going to ever call him again?
I'm staring at it right now, and I'm not feeling a tingle, but I look at my DS, and I'm like, tingles.
Your DS makes you tingle?
Oh, okay. Just a little. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying that I think it's weird. I mean, I would have, you know, never really considered myself a hype chaser before, but this really has kind of done it for me. Like, I haven't...
Nothing. So let me say this then, as a hype chaser or possible hype chaser, do you have intentions of, you know, picking up stuff like Splinter Cell Conviction and Nier, which, you know, is another Square Enix game that's coming out later this week that is an action RPG?
Oh, I'm very interested in Nier. Very. I was, the minute I saw the pictures and, you know, the trailers from E3 09, so I'm not going to 10.
Well, what are you going to do?
Bitter much? Yes.
check. Daily dose of haterade over not going to E3? Check.
But I mean, I was very interested in what they were going to do. I mean, it looks, you know, post-apocalyptic. We've seen that before. RPG, okay, I get it. You know, I'm not expecting a revolutionary game mechanic in the turn base. It's probably going to be pre Final Fantasy 13 with the combat system. So, I mean, but I'm still very interested in it. And I've always been a big Square Enix supporter anyway. So that shouldn't be much of a surprise.
Square Enix!
But I don't know. I'm so surprised because I was so enamored with Final Fantasy 13.
Like, but the thrill is gone.
Like, yeah. There's, like, no warming in my coxle.
My coxle. Or subcoccal area. Coccal,
yeah. Nothing.
Not even in your colon?
No. Not even a little. And And it's saddening to me because the game is good. I mean, like I said, I'm in Chapter 11 and there's only, figure this, 13. So I'm only two chapters away from completion and I have no desire to open the case and put it in my PS3.
So what was the last game that you played that you completed the whole story that you felt accomplished and either felt driven to complete the story or driven to complete the game or just, in fact, could not let it go at all?
Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect 2.
So both of the games you're talking about, Mass Effect 2 and Final Fantasy, are huge and involved games. Okay? Yes. You can't really blow through either of them.
No.
So what do you think between Mass Effect 2 and Final Fantasy, because I know there was a point in time where you stopped playing Mass Effect for a day.
I know, and I went apeshit that day.
So what do you think it is? What is the thing that is different between those two games that made one a must-play, must-finish, and the other a meh?
See, that's the thing. I don't think it's a game thing.
Okay.
Which is where I'm getting at. I think it's a person thing. Like, I mean, at the time that I got Mass Effect 2-1, I was still unemployed. I wasn't going anywhere because I had nothing to do. Mm-hmm. So I had, you know, I could wake up at 6 a.m. and, I mean, let's even backtrack that to before Mass Effect 2 when I was playing Dragon Age, which is also very involved
mm-hmm.
game. Probably even, outside of, you know, not having to probe any planets.
Planet probing. I'm going to put my probe in you and you're going to release all your minerals to
okay.
me.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
I want your iridium in me. I said it. I back it.
But, you know, so a game that was just as involved, if not a little bit more in a different aspect, I guess. You know, I was waking up at 6 a.m, you know, talking to Eshimon before she would leave. And then pretty much from 7:30 up until 10 o'clock at night, I was on either the couch or the love seat or varying between the two because I had to spice it up somehow. And I would play games all day, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, down the road, I managed to get this full-time job, you know, where I come in at like 9 o'clock at night. And I mean, even though my games are staring me in the face, like I'm just not driven. You know, I'm just not like if I wasn't working now and I had gotten Final Fantasy 13, I probably would have had it beaten already. Easily okay. would have had it beaten already. So I think it's a matter of time. And I know that we were having a debate before about people who have full-time jobs and might have families and get limited amounts of gaming. And I didn't understand, you know, the ramifications of that until now.
Yeah, you get tired as shit.
Yeah. You come home. Well, I mean, like for people who stare at screens all day, the last thing, like I know for me, the last thing I want to do when I come off of a night shift is look at my computer. I want to do something else other than look at my computer. And if that means taking a walk with my DS or driving somewhere and drinking, I've come to notice that now I do a lot more drinking.
But not drinking and driving because that's...
No, not both. But it, like if I come home and I've had a rough night, I'm like, all right, go get the 151, grab a Coke, sit on the couch and just drink myself silly.
You're pretty silly to begin with, so it probably doesn't
do. So it doesn't really. Maybe 1.5 shots and I'm straight. And but still, like I've never understood it before, and I totally do now. You know, and it's sad because I still very much love games, and I still very much love anime, and I'm just like trying to find that, you know, niche of when I can invest in these games that I've been investing in for so long.
Well, I hope that you work it out. We'd love to hear from you on how you balance your passion, geez, your addiction with, you know, real life.
Oh man, I couldn't even imagine being addicted. Like if I was still in WoW and had this job, I don't know how.
You wouldn't.
I would have shot the postman.
Like, seriously.
And some Girl Scouts.
Hit us to get their cookies so you would have sustenance for while.
Oh, my God, with Rockstar? Yes.
Anyway, we want to hear from you. So hit us at questions@esh.mobi, and let us know how you balance the addiction.
And are you a hype chaser, too?
Let us know. We'll talk about some of these on the next podcast.
You know that we do live.
So... Yeah. I'm going to take the mic back.
All right, go ahead. Because
I've got a better, which may turn out to be a best.
All right. Well, what's your quote-unquote best?
So if you follow me or many of the team members on the Twitter, which is an internet thing, you may have seen rumors and heard some things about us having a giveaway coming up. It's not a woomer. It's a twoof. It's two. It's two. It's wee 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 two. So here's the deal. We've got some codes for some downloads of the Kick-Ass game on PSN.
Yes,
we are going to give away. Starting today, we're going to give away one code for the next 3 days. All you've got to do is follow any of us. I would recommend following all of us. Wink, wink. On Twitter. So you can use the socialize page to figure out what our Twitter accounts are if you haven't already. And you need to retweet to win I think ESH kicks ass because we will, at random, once a day, pick a winner and DM you a code that you can use on the PSN to try out the game. Pretty kick ass, right? On the fourth day, because there's no resting for the wicked here, one lucky person is going to win not only a code to download and try the game on the PSN, but we also are going to give them a pretty bitchin' kick-ass stand for their PS3. Typically, it only works with the old-school ones, so the Slims may be a little bit out of luck. That has this really cool blue LED going on. You can run the power cords out the back and everything, and it'd just be, you know, pretty bitchin'. It's pretty gamer. Pretty kick-ass, basically. So you get a code and a stand. I might even throw in a jello skin. I don't even know yet. We'll see what's going to happen. But you got to make sure that you're following us and that you're retweeting to win. You can enter multiple times a day. The contest is open to anyone who hasn't won anything from ESH before. So if you've won anything from us before, you're not eligible to win again.
So sorry, you bitches. Seven people.
Right. So seven previous candy bitches. Y'all can't win shit. Not this one. We'll get you on the next one. Just make sure that you check out our site. I'll have the news on the site, electricsisterhood.com/kickass. I will also tweet about it, so make sure you follow me on the Twitter to get the page. It'll have all the details that you need, and hopefully you'll win. It'll be kickass. So make sure that you're following us, that you're checking in on the website, that you're checking in on the podcast, because we have fun doing it. I think you have fun looking at it. So you can visit us online at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. Short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, subscribe.
Clicko el buteno for the goodness that is Esh.
Oh. And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. Also, we're on the All Games Network.
Yep, you can catch our shows each week on the All Games Radio Network at some point in time on some day. And you can also check out some...
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, well, you know. But you can also check out some really entertaining shows over there. I'm partial to Dead Pixel Live.
I'm a big fan of Gametopius.
I like the OLR.
Oh my god, OLR was so awesome. In Game Chat, also pretty good.
Pretty kick-ass. And, dude, Bobby Blackwolf.
Video Game Outsiders too, man. Don't forget that.
Yeah, I'm not forgetting. I'm just saying.
Oh, B-Wolf is the motherfucking man.
B-Wolf is the man. So make sure that you're checking out that stuff. Visit their websites. Subscribe to their stuff as well. Pick up the awesomeness, nerdiness that's going on. And you can also listen to some of the other shows coming out of the ESH camp. We've got the Boston Bastard Brigade, which, I gotta tell you, they crack me up. Co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. You want the awesomes?
I want the awesomes.
Are you prepared for the awesomes?
I am ready for the awesomes.
Then you need to catch our show every Monday. You need to catch the Boston Bastard Brigade on Tuesday. And then you need to check out Geek Aggro, co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. I mean, seriously, that right there is a whole half week full of the awesomes right there.
Power.
Okay. I'm talking more than puppy power. Okay. I'm talking like
puppy power.
I'm just saying. It's pretty awesome.
Oh my God. Pound puppies. Now that you bring that shit up.
Oh my God. Pound puppies was my shit. Like in the day. I was so sad.
Oh, wow.
Okay, it was like the best
start. Hey, we're off tracking. We're off.
I know, but come on. Seriously, you brought it up. You started this.
You said puppy power first.
Right, and that was Scrappy Doo from Scooby Doo. You went to Pound Puppies.
Well, yes, whatever. Okay. Let's not go there.
I'm going there now. I've committed. I've committed.
I have not.
You gotta come along for the ride. You're already in the sidecar.
I am not in the sidecar.
I'm looking down at right now.
I see you in my sidecar, bitch.
Nope. Saturday morning cartoons. WTF. What's happened? We're going to talk about this on some podcast because I really want to talk about the state of Saturday morning cartoons. It's pathetic. Anyway, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, full of awesomeness right out of the ESH camp. You can check out our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. for goodness. You can check out our YouTube channel. We've got videos that pop up there all the times. Most of them right now are being made by Evermore because he's awesome and
has
the final cuts like a motherfucker. So make sure that you're checking out the YouTube channel. We've got pictures on Flickr. We're on the Twitter. We're on the Facebook. We're just going to be worldwide. That's what the goal is.
We're
worldwide
taking over.
Eshness.
One internet website end.
So make sure that you're checking all that stuff out. If you want the links for everything, esh.mobi/socialize, or just go to the website and click on the socialize button. It works either way. It's pretty fracking awesome. Last thing before we do our disclosure. We talked a little bit, kind of mentioned Nier Action RPG.
Yes.
There's a comic coming out. It's only going to be a 3-issue comic. But if you're into comics, you're probably going to want to check it out. You can get it on your Xbox 360, your PlayStation Network. Or you can go to nearthegame.com. Check it out. So with that, I have to ask Panda, do you have anything you want to disclose?
I want to disclose that I am wearing pants today.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. You get +1 in apparel.
Yes. I like this +1 shit. Beefing up my stats, motherfucker.
Yeah.
How you like me now?
I got on pants.
Yeah.
Woot.
Yep.
You would get +2 if your pants actually had woot written on them.
No, they have a really cool purple stripe down the side, though.
No, I'm sorry. That doesn't count. You only get +1.
Whatever. It reduces my ability to be detected by Eshmon by 50%.
Okay, well, that is definitely a bonus.
That is an attribute that I love greatly. And, What about you, Ninja? Anything you want to disclose?
I would like to disclose that I own Apple stock, so I profit when they sell shit. Please make my stock go higher. I like money.
Make her stock beefy.
Beefy. Beefy.
I love that word.
I was going to say, you know, make it rise, but that would be...
Yeah, but that would have made it sound like you were talking about...
Digital penis, which I'm not.
Not just digital.
Financial?
Financial.
I don't even sure how that would work.
Stock rhymes with cock. So stock cock.
Wow.
Stock cock rhymes, motherfucker.
Okay, well, with that, I'm going to have to say that I am Ninja Sissa.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are getting out of here before we go to someplace really, really wrong.
Wall Street.
Did you just say Ball Street?
I said Wall Street.
I heard Ball Street. I guess it's time to go.
I went Wall Street because I was going for like Wall Street, Cock Street, no Ball.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, we've gone to wrong town. See you next week, guys.
Later.
Guess what we've got? We've got some goodness from the ESH bin of awesome clips that we didn't actually air on a show because we talked too long. So, since we didn't talk long enough this week, we've got a piece that we actually chopped off of an episode, episode 177, as a matter of fact, where Pen and I were talking about Uncharted 2. So, bonus bit for you, here's some more about the hottie, Nathan Drake, and Uncharted 2. Next one, I don't even think I need to say this because I don't think that we've really stopped talking about this game since we both played it. Uncharted 2, it's kind of like a hell duh.
No, I don't know. I don't think anyone should buy it because it's kind of boring. You just climb things all the time. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, did you get on the crack today?
No. I still haven't played the story. Crack. I still haven't played the story, but I played the multiplayer.
What is wrong with you? I've been dying to play with you, and you keep saying,
"Yeah, we can't play story together." I've been playing multiplayer. I'm level 20 now.
Oh, see, you fucking. I tried to get you to play multiplayer when you first bought the game. You're like, "Oh, I'm a purist. I've got to play the story first.
I know.
I'm not
going to
play multiplayer with anybody."
And
I was like, "Okay, well, just let me know when you finish." And now you're like, "Yeah, I'm already a level 20."
Yeah, I haven't.
I haven't been playing multiplayer because I've been waiting for you, so it would be both
okay,
at the same level.
Okay, well,
starting.
I'm sorry.
You suck. I'm taking one of your Christmas presents away. Right?
Why? Oh, because that's not bitter.
I didn't say that I was.
This is not the time for forgiveness and presents.
Oh, I'm all out of forgiveness.
Oh, well.
I ran out last
week. You have
cake?
Actually,
I do.
Regardless.
Uncharted 2, great game. I haven't played any of the multiplayer yet, so Panda will have to tell you about that. But as far as the story goes, it was one of the games that I played this year that I actually found myself really wanting to know how the story ends. And that doesn't happen enough for me when playing action-adventure titles, and which is why I don't complete as many of them as I, you know, really would like to. But with Uncharted, I was drawn to finish the story. I could not walk away from the game for long periods of time because I felt like I was letting Nathan down by not helping him get through that last puzzle.
Weren't you worried at some points that it might have seemed very movie-y more than game? Because a lot of people, the cinematics kind of blend in very well, that there are lots of times where it looked more like you were watching stuff instead of taking part in stuff.
I think that they borrowed that a lot from the last couple of Tomb Raider games, because those were kind of things that made those games a little bit more enjoyable as far as progressing through a story. You felt like you were more part of a story as opposed to playing levels. And so I think that Naughty Dog really focused on making you feel as though you were playing through a movie.
Okay.
And you were getting a story, as opposed to, oh great, I finished chapter 4. Load screen, load screen, load screen. Now I go into chapter 5. And this is what I need to do. And go.
They kind of just said, hey, wing it.
And here's pretty much the never-ending story. And I think, for me, that's a more enjoyable experience than the alternative. Not that it's necessarily leaps and bounds better, or that I want every action game to be that, but I definitely found myself, you know, comparing Uncharted 2 to Tomb Raider to, you know, your Devil May Cries and your God of Wars, and I would put Uncharted 2 on that same story being a part of it level as a God of War, and less a Devil May Cry.
Okay. All right. I dig that.
But
that.
If you've got a PS3, there's no reason you shouldn't own Uncharted 2.
Like, you should have it right now. Like, if you don't, you should be smacking yourself in the face with limp noodles. That's how that's how upset we are that you do not have this game right now.
Unless you never beat the first one, right?
Well, no, I didn't play the first
one. I didn't play the first one.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, I have
some limp noodles here.
Well, that means you just cook them right.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave that alone, because I...
No. I mean, I do have a friend who went and played all through Uncharted 1 before he even opened his Uncharted 2. So, like, I mean, you get the whole story that way, but, I mean, you could completely play this and get enough of the focal points from 1 to understand kind of what's going on.
I don't necessarily...
You don't feel lost.
Yeah, I never felt like there was a big piece missing when I picked up this game, you know. I think because of the way that it starts with, by now everyone's seen that trailer, being shot up on a train and having to get off the train, it's enough of an
abstract. The train's off the side of a cliff.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're just walking off of a car. You're
like,
climbing out.
I've come to my stop. Let me get off the train and bleed on the ground. I think that it's enough of its own story that I didn't necessarily have to play the first one to really engage with the character. Now, I'm damn sure looking forward to 3, but it didn't make me want to go back and play the first one. Like, I have no desire to do that.
Meh.
But I do agree that it was worthy of Game of the Year, because the game is tight. And you can also find it, there are a couple of deals online for it that's been bundled with a couple of other games, but the cheapest that I found it from a nice, good, reliable place that can get it to where you need it to before Christmas, Amazon, I love you, you can get it for about $50 with your 3-day shipping. If you want it there with 2, then you're looking at adding another 14. But that just brings it up to pretty much what you would have paid if you picked it up brand new from a GameStop. And you can have Amazon wrap it for you.
So you won't be fighting with wrapping paper last minute and rushing to the post office to realize that you're an hour late.
Value added.